Welcome to Torati Mecha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Smiles, and today we'll be studying Hosea Perek Gimel, the third chapter. Hosea Perek Gimel is really an echo of the last two prokim that we have learned. It will pick up the theme of Hosea marrying a prostitute, as well as the theme of the Jewish people while in Golos and Hashem's relationship with them. The Perek begins, Vayomer Hashem Elai Od Lech Ehav Isha Ahuvat Rea Umena Afet. Hashem tells Hosea to go love another woman, Ahuvat Rea, a very intense love. And this woman is a Mena Afet. She is an adulteress. She is somebody who has relationships while married. Ke'avat Hashem Epnei Yisrael. This is similar to the relationship of Hashem to the Jewish people. Vehem Ponim El Elohim Acherim. And they turn to other gods while still having a relationship with Hashem. The Mefarshim point out that Hosea didn't actually marry this woman. Rather, it's a reflection of the relationship that Kadosh Baruch Hu has with Klal Yisrael. A very intense relationship, but not as intense as the marriage relationship. And this Mefarshim describe, this parak is a reference to the Jewish people while in exile. While in exile, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be, so to speak, have this relationship with us, this love with us, Lech Ehav Isha, go love a woman, but it's not going to be actually marrying this woman. Vohavei Asisei Anavim. And yet this woman, instead of giving her love to her husband, is giving her love to wine, which is a reference to Klal Yisrael, who are involved in the physical pleasures of this world. Wine is used because this leads to adultery. This is the Jewish people in exile. They have a relationship with Hashem, and yet their primary focus is on a relationship with the physical indulgence of this world. The Navi continues in Pasuk Beis, Ve'echra li b'chamisha sarkaseh, v'chomer sa'orim v'lekech sa'orim. Hosea goes and acquires such a woman. As we'll see, he never really marries her, he just betroths her. And in those days, the process between betrothal and actual marriage was a whole year interim in between. He marries her with 15 kesef, 15 pieces of silver. He betroths her, v'chomer se'orim, as well as a chomer, which is an amount of barley, and a lesech of barley. The Mefarshim point out that barley is specifically used because barley is an animal food. This is a reflection that this woman is acting in an animal-like way, which doesn't show being faithful at all. Symbolically, the 15 references to the 15 prophets that prophesied to the Jewish people while they were in exile that there's going to be a future redemption. The 15 is that hope that the Jewish people will have, that albeit they are in the exile period, there were 15 prophets that told them that they are going to be taken out of exile. And that as well is the imagery of the kesef, of the nichsefa, of the desire. That Hashem desires the Jewish people, albeit that they are in exile, albeit the relationship is that of se'orah, of barley. It's not a relationship of expansiveness, but rather very constricted. Nevertheless, the relationship exists. And the Navi is told, the prophet is told, Va'omar eleha yamim rabim teshvi li lo tizni v'lo tiliish. The prophet is told to tell her that she should wait for him faithfully for a number of days, which is a number of months, and that she shouldn't have relations with any other man. That during this period of time, waiting for him to marry Hosea, she should be completely faithful, v'gam ani elayich, and he will be completely faithful to her. And this is obviously the imagery where the Jewish people are asked to be completely faithful to Hashem, and Hashem will be completely faithful to us as well. Ki yamim rabim, the fourth verse, yeshvu b'nei Yisrael. There will be many days that the Jewish people will sit in exile. Ein melech ve'ein tsar. There is no king, there is no officer. Ve'ein zavach, there is no sacrifice. Ve'ein matseva, there is no altar. Ve'ein efod trafim, there is no Ephod and Trophim were mediums to be able to communicate to God. It was during this period of galus, of exile, that the Jewish people will be loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They will not go after any type of idolatry. And then the imagery in verse 5, Achar Yashuvu B'nai Yisrael, after this period of exile, after this period of loyalty to God, then the Jewish people will return. Ubikshu et Hashem, and then they will search out Hashem Elokeihem, the God, their personal God, Vet David Malkam, and David their king. Ufachadu el Hashem ve'el tuvo b'acharit hayamim, and they will have fear of Hashem and his goodness at the end of days. This verse is a reference to the Jewish people at the end of time will search out God for their needs, and God will return his divine presence. They will search out the king from the tribe of Judah and not from other tribes. And the fear that Hashem should never leave them will be the ultimate reality of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, of divine presence on them at all times. This is the ultimate vision, where Hosea begins with description of the Golos, the exile period, and ends with that ultimate vision of God being our intimate God. On this last verse, our rabbis tell us, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai said, the Jewish nation, the 10 northern tribes, despised three things in the times of Rehoboam, the son of Shlomo. They despised the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of David, and the temple. They did not allow people to go up and worship in the temple. And Rabbi Shimon ben Menashe said, the signs of redemption will not be shown to Israel until they return and seek all three of them. And that's based on this pasuk. It will only be when the Jewish people are going to yearn for God. They're going to yearn for the king, for the Messianic dynasty, and they're going to yearn for the Tuvo, the goodness, which is a reference to the temple. At that time, when they yearn for all three, then the Messiah will come. Rav Tachtel, in the book Eim HaBanim Smecha, asked a very basic question on this. He says, but have not the Jewish people throughout the generations been seeking and asking for these things? Three times a day we ask Hashem, V'lushalayim ircha berachamim tashu, Hashem, please return to the city of Jerusalem. At Samach David, we want the Davidic dynasty to be restored. We're asking these things. How come, indeed, for thousands of years we're making this request, and our request hasn't been responded to? To which Rav Tachtel responds with a very fascinating insight. He notes that there are two synonymous words in Hebrew, she'ela and bakasha. Both mean to ask and to desire. For example, in chapter 27 of Psalms, we have David HaMelech saying, Achat sha'alti me'et Hashem. One thing I ask of you, Hashem, Osa avakesh, this I will ask for. Shifti b'veit Hashem kol yimei chayai. I want to sit in the house of Hashem all the days of my life. Notes Rav Tachtel, there's a difference between she'ela and bakasha. She'ela, request, is through tefillah, is through supplication. It's what we do three times a day, asking Hashem to return of Zion. Bakasha, however, is doing physical things to be able to have these requests being implemented. It's not enough to request to be a scholar. You need to go into the Beis Medrash, into the study hall, and actually learn. It's not enough to request riches. You have to go out and make a living. Acha sha'alti osa avakesh. It's fascinating that in our verse, it says when the Jewish people are going to be uvikshu et Hashem, where they're going to search out Hashem and the temple and the Davidic dynasty. It doesn't use the word she'ela to request, but bakasha. And notes Rav Tachtel, the reason why we have been prevented from having our requests responded to is because we are only involved in the she'ela, in the prayer, but not in the bakasha, not in actualizing this request, not by being proactive in trying to build up and return to the land of Israel. And to quote Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal in Kol Dodi Dofek, when he talks about the famous six knocks that Hashem has knocked on the door of the Jewish people in the last century, he says, and I quote, "When the desolate one, which longingly waited for us from era to era, invited us to come and redeem her from her desolation, and when the beloved who watched over the desolation for almost 1900 years and decreed during this time no tree should grow and no wells should fructify the land, beckoned at the door of the lover, we, the Orthodox Jews, the lover, did not bestir ourselves from our beds to open the door for our beloved. If we had contiguous settlements throughout the land, from Eilat to Dan, our situation would be very different," end quote. Our job, my friends, is to heed the calling of Hosea, the loyalty to God, and being proactive in trying to bring about the return, the ultimate return to Zion. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmas, Malka Esther, Batzvi Yosef.